things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week two edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It's the Father and Son podcast.
Falcons 34, Packers 23. Packers fall to 1-1.
Which we kind of figured was going to be the case.
Yep. If you happen to see the, or listen to, you're not going to watch it, but listen to the preseason episode, we released it over the weekend. Since we weren't able to in the preseason, we kind of released it as a bonus episode, and we actually talked about how expected the Packers to go 1-1.
Right.
It's two tough first games. At the time, it didn't seem like a big deal, but after the loss, you know, Packer fandom is sky's falling.
Well, we're going to talk about it more, but let me ask you just briefly what. Because we had a lot of, we had some injuries, quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make the loss easier, or does it make it that much worse taste in your mouth? We didn't just lose, we also had some players get hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't make it easier. We lost guys.
Well, you look at it and you say, hopefully they can bounce back. And, you know, we got, if we would have had all our guys, we would have won the game.
Mm-hmm. Score-wise, never all that close throughout. I think for a few reasons, it was probably closer throughout the whole game than it seemed. There was kind of a few key moments, key calls that changed the outcome of the game quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like you said, kind of the main thing we have to deal with going forward now is the injuries. There was a lot of them. First quarter, we had Daniels go down, who's been, you know, for over, I don't know, the span of what, two, three seasons now, yeah. Kind of the key to that defense.
And this year looked like he was really peaking too.
Yeah, he had a great game week one. But hopefully he'll be back. That's a hamstring injury. We had Jordy hurt his quad. He's going to be 50-50 shot to play against the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few other players as well. So we'll go over those. That's never fun, especially to lose him in the beginning of the game.
Yes.
Can't be easy as a coach to game plan against one of the best teams in the
right.
league, then lose your two, you know, you lose a key guy on offense and a key guy on defense.
Right,
it's going to mess
right.
things up.
Well, and by the way, we are recording on Tuesday evening. Sans our mascot, because Sean's working at a different job and has a different way home. So, well, hopefully we can get her in here one of these days and she can make an appearance at least once.
So what do you think of the pick plays? Getting
you
called
know,
on
it's
the pick
hard,
plays.
It's hard for me to really get to. I can't catch them as fast as you can when you're watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's one of those that.
Well, it's because they weren't there.
And it's one of the, it's a judgment call.
Well, it shouldn't be. I put a picture up here for you to be able to see it. It shows 1 yard line past the line of scrimmage. You know. They're allowed to hit, they're allowed to bump, that kind of thing. He's basically standing on the line of scrimmage with one foot, the other one over. There's no way he's a yard past. It shouldn't have been called. And it ended up being a huge, you know, momentum swing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going, I think we're down 7-17. We get a huge play to Cobb to move down the field, have a chance to score before half, make it a one-score game.
Mm-hmm.
They call it back on a blown call. And then not only do we not get those points, but the Falcons go and score a touchdown.
Right.
That's a 14-point swing.
Yeah, it is tough, but you also know that it was the opening of their stadium, and the NFL wants them to succeed. You know, they're always against the Packers. Everybody's against the Packers.
And then we had the forward pass, the non-forward pass. Rodgers got hit as he was throwing it. The ball went sideways on him. You know, looked maybe a little bit forward, maybe completely sideways. It was hard to tell, as you could tell during the game.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't matter, because that's not the rule. And I know, because you can go on their website on NFL.com and look at the rules. And if I can look at the rules, I feel like the referee should be able to look at the rules. So here is Rule 8, Article 1, Item 1A.
Welcome to law class, students.
When a player is in control of the ball and is attempting to pass it forward, any intentional forward movement of his hand starts a forward pass. If after intentional forward movement of his hand, contact by an opponent materially affects the passer. So if someone hits him and affects the way it's moving, and that causes the ball to go backwards, it is still a forward pass, regardless of where the ball lands. That's the rule. And we have full-time referees now to make sure they know the rules.
Not all of them are, but not all of them.
But we have them in every game.
Yeah, we do. Every game, yep.
And that's a huge call as well.
I would agree. I would agree. Unfortunately, we have these every year. Every team typically gets some that are against them. But when
I'm not saying it's just us.
But it's frustrating when it does happen. Yeah, it was tough. I mean, we can keep moving forward because I got a lot of stuff I want to add on the individual stuff, so we don't end up rambling.
Let's just go into the offense then.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Didn't look... he certainly didn't look as sharp as he has in the past. I think there's many factors on that. You're not having your starting both tackles.
Yep, that's another
it's a huge
thing that
thing.
Hurts.
Your whole, I would think, tempo and everything is off a little bit. And but even so, I mean, there was a couple plays I thought.
He ended with 33 of 50 for 343 yards, two touchdowns, and an INT.
Which, again, I mean, it's Herculean for anybody, but it's just not Aaron. I mean, some of the stuff that the decisions he made, and I got to think he probably had a ton of pressure. He wants to come in and win that game and bust up their opening day.
Yeah.
So.
And I'd say a good chunk of it is the offensive line. It was not good at all. You also had timing's going to be off with the receivers. You can't avoid that. You have preseason. They get their roles. They know their roles. They learn them. They've only had one regular season game, and now you lose Jordy Nelson in the first quarter. Your key guy, everyone has to shift to a new position. Your number two guy is now number one. Number three, number two. It's different routes, different roles. It's going to throw off timing.
I believe Cobb got hurt in the first quarter, but he tried to stick it out. Hurt his shoulder.
I wasn't sure when he did.
But they just finally in the fourth quarter, they said, nah. We're just going to pull you out, which is probably a smart move.
But he still was over 300 yards again. And not only that, but on the shovel touchdown to Ty Montgomery, Rodgers became the fastest quarterback to 300 touchdowns.
Sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
Would have been even sweeter if we would have won. But
So you got anything to add on Rodgers, or you want to move on to receivers?
No, I mean, I'm certainly not worried. It's amazing the drama that people have, you know, that, oh, gosh, that's it, we're done. But anyway, so you want to, as far as the receivers, go ahead.
Cobb and Nelson out, we talked about that. Bennett didn't have a great game, I thought, in the receiving game. I know he had, what was it, six targets before he had a catch. Not all of those were his fault, but six targets, you should have a catch. So, yeah, not great in the receiving game for him, but he did block really well.
Yeah, he is very good at that.
That's where I was very impressed by him. He blocked great throughout the whole game, I thought. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's one of those – I agree with you on the blocking. When – I mean, he is going to be, when he's in there, a threat for Aaron, that he can use him. He hasn't had a guy like him for a while. So when Cobb gets hurt and Jordy's out, I think defensively you look at it and say, okay, we'll just kind of really watch this guy. So that factor, I think Adams looked good. He did well, had a really nice touchdown catch, a fingertip catch that we just watched the replay, the highlights of it. where he kicked the pylon, and it really, I agree with you. If he went to kick the pylon, he probably would have been out of bounds, and it wouldn't have been a touchdown. It'd have been right at the one.
Running game, Ty Montgomery. Not really anything to talk about with the other running backs this game. They didn't really have much time besides a carry or two.
Yeah, again, you can't put too much credence in the running game for this game when we had so many injuries on the line.
Mm-hmm. But we'll look at what we had. We had 10 rushes, 35 yards, and a touchdown from Montgomery, and then also 6 receptions for 75 yards and mm-hmm. a touchdown. That's good numbers.
Yep, that is.
That's 110 yards from scrimmage, 2 mm-hmm. touchdowns. Not gonna complain about that.
No, not at all.
He also got Rodgers' 300th touchdown ever. So,
yeah, I wanted to see more running. We needed to get just a little more of a running game going, but knowing with 2 fresh tackles going mm-hmm. in, chances aren't it wasn't going to happen. Atlanta is a very, very good team.
They are. Good offense, good defense. So you brought up tackles. Let's talk offensive line.
Okay. You want me to click on this?
Sure, if you can. Or just copy and paste it. I'll let you figure that out while I talk about
you go ahead. Take your time because I'm very slow on the old.
Yeah. I think we especially missed Bakhtiari. I think he's been just solid as can be on our line. And I don't have too much else to say besides that they didn't play well. But, yeah, here's the play for you. It's the non-forward pass. Okay. Where, what's our line doing? You have 2 tackles completely just whiff.
It's yep. They're standing by themselves.
You never used to see tackles whiff. And then their middle rusher just doesn't get blocked by the 4 guys that are standing there.
Mm.
Not fun. But offensive line play has been horrible league-wide so far this year, 2 games in.
I heard a theory on that. You care to hear it?
Sure.
That and they talk about this not just on offensive line play in college. There's other positions that say the same thing. They're not bringing players into the NFL to be ready to play NFL football because of the schemes they play in college is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's harder and harder to find guys that you have to skill them up when they come into the NFL more so than you do in some of the other positions.
I think that's a big part of it. I don't think that's the whole thing. Like you said, so in college, spread offense is pretty much mm-hmm. all over now. When you're in the spread offense as an offensive lineman, you're going to have 2 jobs. You're going to have either man blocking, which means you just kind of go over your guy.
You
block him. That's just all you do.
Just grade him.
Or you have slide blocking, where you know before the play you're going to slide with the whole line to the right or with the whole line to the left. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's all just being better than the other guy.
Right.
Once you go to the NFL, that is not the case. The NFL, it's all technique and repetition, basically, doing it over and over mm-hmm. and over and over. So it's partly what you said, but it's also the fact that ever since we had the new NFLPA agreement, or that's not right, but
the
player agreement, yeah. Player Association agreement, CBA, there it is. They're not allowed to do any of this in OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to do much of it in preseason. They limit any kind of padded practices. So basically how it used to be, you draft a guy out of college. It's not swing offenses. They know a lot of the techniques and stuff. You don't play him for a year. He just learns.
Yep.
Then when the next offseason, the second that offseason starts, he's working one-on-one with a defensive lineman and a coach.
Mm.
That's a lot of training, mm-hmm. a lot of repetition, a lot of learning technique, and you can't do any of that now. So not only are they coming in less prepared, they don't get a chance to prepare before you throw them in basically to the big show.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you're getting this.
Well, we get some guys healthy, it would be a lot better. But you want to move on to the defense?
Sure. Lost Daniels. Moving on from that. also lost Bryce and House later in the game. Moving on from that. I actually don't have any updates. Have you heard any updates on them?
I have not heard anything. Okay. It's being Tuesday. We probably won't.
Yep. I just wanted to check in case you had. I want to talk about Randle and Rollins. This is their third year. They had a great rookie year, showed a lot of promise, and then they regressed quite a bit last year. What do you think now with them? They haven't looked good yet this year.
I'm not willing to make a judgment call on them so far this year. After two games, I'm not going to. Especially when you watch like this game.
It hasn't been two games. There's been two seasons plus two games.
What I'm saying for this year, I'm not. Because it's not uncommon for a rookie to have a good year and then regress their second year. So I still have to see some more play before I get and say you're right that they really are a bust. But the other thing you have to look at too, if you watch a lot of those plays when we're on defense, you watch the line, it literally looks like we're on roller skates. We're just going backwards. They're just grating us down the field. They're able to run, they're able to block and stuff. So that just puts so much pressure on the other guys. And so it's hard for me to put a judgment call on this game. And that's my political answer.
My biggest thing with Randle that frustrates me is he has the talent for it. He has the speed, the athleticism. He just can't seem to figure it out. He doesn't know when to turn around. He doesn't know how to anticipate what the receiver's going to do. And it just that doesn't seem to be getting better. He had another offseason to learn it. It's at least through two games, it's been frustrating still.
I'll give you that.
However, Kevin King, our rookie, looked very good when he came in.
Yeah, he did.
He took 32 snaps, or, you know, he played 32 defensive coverage plays, and he didn't allow a pass in any of those. I think 13 of them were against Julio. He didn't allow Julio to get a pass. He had two passes broken up against Julio.
Wow, that's saying something.
That's a lot to ask from a rookie. Yeah. He looked really good. I thought him and Jones also played well when he was in there. I hope he gets more time as well. And even Bryce has looked good before he went out with the injury and looked good last week. And he's a hard hitter. Bryce, I don't know if you remember, but he upends people pretty regularly. And we haven't really had that hard-hitting safety since Atari Bigbee, would you say?
I kept
going like year to year, and it just kept going back, and I was like, there has to be one.
Well, my political answer is it's been a while.
Yeah, I would say Bigbee was our last heavy hitter in the secondary. So nice to have him there. I hope they play more. I hope Bryce and House are healthy. And the other thing with King is he looked eager to tackle. Our tackling was great against the Seahawks. Didn't have much to complain about.
Right.
Did a 180 in this game.
I agree.
Kind of just diving at their feet. It was frustrating.
Throwing his shoulder in.
To see King tackling well was nice to see. Hopefully it rubs off on these other guys if the rookie's able to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they should be able to. How do you think our secondary is going to look by the end of the year? So you have Randle and Rollins struggling early. King, the rookie, and Jones, the rookie, looking good. You think it's going to stay about this?
I think it's going to pick up. I'm going to be a Pollyanna and think that our third-year players are going to step up. And then the rookies continue to learn and play better. You start out the year with a big rivalry with the Seahawks, a good team. And then you go and play in Atlanta against a very good team. So coming up, we got Cincinnati. This should be more of a let's find out, because there's some parts of it that we should do well on this game. So
yeah, and Cincinnati.
How do you think the secondary is going to do?
I think King and Jones, definitely King. I think he might be our number one corner by the end of the year. Randle might be the number two. I'd say, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. My big thing on if it does remain an issue with Randle and Rollins, it's very frustrating that we let Casey Hayward go, that we didn't pay him the money. He's kind of the last corner that we really hit on in the draft and did well. Since we decided not to pay him, he went to I was going to say San Diego. It's now the L.A. Chargers. Mm-hmm. He's looked great. He had a really good year last year. I think he led the league in interceptions last year. So it's a bummer to lose him when we're still having difficulties in our secondary.
I would agree. Do you hear, speaking of the L.A. Chargers, L.A. Chargers played a home game. L.A. Rams played a home game.
Mm-hmm.
Take their combined total for the fans at
attendance,
and they had less than the USC game that played on Saturday.
The USC game in the same stadium,
yeah.
One of them, the Coliseum, right?
I believe so. Yeah,
that's sad. Oh, it worked out for them moving two teams to LA. Matthews, decent game for Matthews, especially the first half. I think he had a sack and a half in the first half.
Yeah, he hasn't, I mean, again, two tough teams. He hasn't really stood out. I believe Seattle really just covered him the whole game, bounced him around. It was a decent game. I think that's putting it fair.
Matthews is, and don't quote me on this because I saw this as just kind of a passing thing days ago. So if any of you out there are going, I'm going to Google this one, you might be right. But I know it's close. Matthews, I believe, is now one sack away, or maybe two, from being the Packers' all-time sack leader.
Hmm.
Passing, do you know who he'd be passing?
Reggie.
Nope. Reggie wasn't with the Packers too long.
That's true, he wasn't. I'm going to take a stab, Kabir. Kabajamilamila.
Kabir Kabajabilamila. Yeah, that's who he's coming up with. Nice job.
Well, thank you.
Good recall.
He actually is having a pretty good TV career, Kabir.
Is he?
Yeah.
Do they use an acronym?
K. Kabir.
That's about it I have, I think, for the defense. I think they're the best offense we'll see all season.
Well, that's good to hear.
And in the end, it actually, you know, was a decently close game. Should have been closer. Before we move on to special teams, I honestly think you don't have those two pick plays called. You don't have
a forward pass.
The forward pass, and then maybe the interception, but that wasn't a bad call or anything. That was just an interception.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it wasn't for those, you have a close game. Close game throughout. And even in the end, it was still a pretty close game. We had a chance there for how much it seemed we were getting blown out.
Yeah.
If we don't miss that 2-point conversion, it's a 16-point game with 12-something minutes left for Rodgers.
Yeah, the problem was that Atlanta got the ball, too. Mm-hmm. So it's
I understand how football works, but I think there's still a lot to be hopeful for as far as this Packer team. This game
absolutely
doesn't mean much.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going to go that route with it. But and for this part right here, I have no idea.
Special teams.
Vogel was in a dome. I didn't really.
Three punts. Average of 39.7 yards. Crosby, 28-yard field goal and two extra points. You have anything else to say about special teams?
Nope.
All right. Let's move on to the game ball. I say we give it to Kevin King, the rookie.
Oh, that's a great pick.
He's kind of the silver lining of the game.
I was thinking about maybe Matthews. And then maybe Rodgers for hitting 300 touchdowns, by length, but it wasn't his best game. So I was struggling. That's why I said I'm not sure about that.
That's what
I was pointing at.
That was your, I'm not doing this.
Sean said, your pick.
Yeah, you better have one.
So do you want to have any final impressions on the game?
What's your final impression on the game? I kind of just gave mine that I think it was closer than the score implied. And I think if just a couple things didn't go against us or went our way, it would have been neck and neck.
I watched a little bit of McCarthy's press conference Monday after they got back in. He said they got in, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. So he hadn't had a chance to really look at a lot of the film that he likes to. But he was a little surly. There was a, I think it was an ESPN reporter asked him a question, and he said that. He goes, well, you see, we don't work for ESPN, and so we don't fly in on our private jet on a specific your time. We have to work around some other stuff. And I'm like, okay. I get it. I mean, I'm sure it's frustrating. You know, there hasn't been much time between those two losses, the championship game and the second game of the year here. I am certainly not going to be overly dramatic about it. And I'm looking forward to getting back home and taking on the Bengals.
Yeah, I'd say that's kind of it's a good point, the home field thing. I'd say that plays a big role in these, you know, powerhouse matchups where we're one of the best teams in the NFC playing one of the other best teams. Mm-hmm. Them being at home in a new stadium is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope if or when we see them in the playoffs, we are at Lambeau.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Because I think that would be huge, especially that time of year. As far as picks, should we move on to the picks?
Move on to the picks, and then we'll talk about the Bengals coming up?
Sure. Okay. We tied. We're still tied. You got the Steelers over the Vikings, right? And I got Lions over the Giants, right?
Boy, the Giants did not look good, did they?
There's turmoil in New York right now. Did you see about Ben McAdoo, their head coach, calling out Eli?
I watched him actually doing it. And I didn't think it was that bad.
No.
I didn't really think it was
I just
bad.
Saw it on the rumor mill.
You got to remember, that's in New York. Mm-hmm. And this is the team that some of these people in New York thought was going to have a good chance of going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And so New York loves to build up and tear down.
Well, so we're tied. It's still 0-0. Okay. Week 3, first pick, Steelers at Bears.
You want to go first?
Nope.
Okay, I'm going to pick... I'm picking Steelers.
Me too. Buccaneers at Vikings.
I'm going to pick... this should be a really good game. But I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
I got the Bucs.
Okay.
Falcons at Lions.
You're higher on the Bucs than I am.
I think the Bucs are a good team.
I don't disagree.
I think they might be, deep into the playoff team this year.
All right.
I think the only reason we don't know that yet is because they got their week one game canceled.
Very good point.
They played, who is it? They played the Bears, right?
Yep.
This last week, they just destroyed them. It was almost a shutout. The Bears got lucky to score.
And now we got Falcons will be playing in Detroit against the Lions.
Lions are 2-0. They beat the Cardinals, and then they beat the Giants.
Two teams that might not be that good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Falcons.
I have the Falcons, too. Bengals at Packers. I have the Packers. All right. I think it should be a good bounce-back game for us. Again, you never know. There was actually a game, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, you may not remember, before the Bengals kind of turned their stuff around. And they were a bad team at the time, and we just looked horrible against them. We were having a good year, and it was kind of the whole the sky's falling thing again. It's like, if we can't beat the Bengals. So let's get revenge for that one.
they're a much better team than they were 4 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. But they've also been struggling this year.
Yeah, I heard you were talking about the skies falling in New York with the Giants. I heard that inner locker room turmoil with the Bengals that they're talking about getting. They need a new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Not one that's on the team currently, like one that might be on the left coast, sitting and waiting.
Yeah, I don't know. Dalton has their offense altogether has not looked good.
Mm-hmm.
They fired the offensive coordinator after the second game. I don't believe they've scored a touchdown yet.
I don't know. That's
yeah,
crazy.
I'm pretty sure they haven't scored a touchdown yet. That'll probably change against us. Just being honest. Statistically, it has to eventually. But I think it'll be a good game for the Packers. I think our defense will look good against them. I hope we have some guys healthy. And hopefully, you know, Rodgers and the boys can throw it up and down the field.
Are you familiar with their defense much for the Bengals?
They're a decent defense. Kind of the only thing that really stands out is Vontaze Burfict. Because he's their main guy, but he also gets suspended every year.
Yeah,
they just gave him an extension, too, even though he's missing the first games of, I think, his second season in a row.
Wow.
But shows how good of a player he is when he's on the field. So their defense decent. I'd say, you know, average to maybe a little above average.
Okay.
Offense has the talent. They have AJ Green, one of the best receivers in the game. Andy Dalton, who never has quite lived up to the hype, and
right.
Tyler Eifert, their tight end, who has never quite lived up to the hype. So we'll see. I think it'll be a good game.
Let me look here. I forgot what time.
What you got?
It's a 3:25 game.
Yep, 3:25.
3:25, okay.
One last thing here, too. So we got Bengals, Bears, Cowboys, Vikings, Saints before our bye week. Did we lose any of those?
Oh, I could see us losing one.
Cowboys?
Cowboys or Vikes. Yep, I could see us losing one of those games.
Yeah, I'd say
and
Cowboys.
That was kind of what we're, our guess for the season was 12-4, mm-hmm. and we were thinking we'd get to the bye with two losses.
Yeah, so I'd say Cowboys will be a tough game, but I think it's definitely a winnable game. I think we're kind of coming together on defense. I know it didn't seem like it this game, but I think we are. I think that'll kind of shine in these next few games now that we're not playing the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm hopeful about it. A little bit of house cleaning before we wrap things up here. You like the show? Prove it. No, just, you know, one of the biggest things about growing a podcast is the reviews and mm-hmm. the subscribers. Make sure you're subscribed if you like listening to us every week. Write us a review if you want to help out. We'd really appreciate it. Join the Facebook group. We got people in there. We post things. We discuss it. It's a good time. Help us grow that. And the one other thing is we're going to start looking at doing some interviews now.
Yeah.
And we kind of got to work out the kinks. You know, it's different programs than we're used to, different equipment than we're used to. So to kind of help out, we were thinking if any of you out there are listening from overseas anywhere, you know, out in the UK, or I know we got listeners in Denmark,
Japan,
Brazil, all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, let me know. You can email me either at feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com or at Sean@bleedinggreenandgold.com. That's SHAWN. And we'll set it up. All it will be is a quick, you know, 15-20 minute call over
the phone.
At the most,
yeah.
Well, it's not going to all be the interview. It's probably about a 10-minute interview.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll just do it over the phone. It'll be easy enough, and then we'll get you on the show. And
yeah, it'd be great.
We'd really appreciate the help, too.
Yeah, it'd be fun to really get a chance to meet some mm-hmm. of our...
hear how you became a Packer fan if you're not in the U.S., all yeah. that.
And Packers are such a family type of team. You know, you go generation to generation, and you say, oh, yeah, my grandpa was a fan, you know, that kind of thing. So we'd love to hear from you. And we're going to try to work on some other interviews as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else you got there, bud?
I'd say that's about it. We'll see you guys at 2-1.
Okay. Until next week.
Go, Pack, go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go, Pack, go.